Women Who Mix with Dana, Amy, Kelsey, and Gert.
Well, it's a shame that we don't get along.
I know, right?
I know. I wish that the four of us could figure out a way to get along. All four women in the workplace, we've had different types of careers, large groups, small groups, and it's difficult to manage.
I agree. It was funny, when I was at Disney, this is Gert, by the way, when I was at Disney, I liked to work the hallways because I felt like I got a lot more accomplished than sitting in my office. So, and we had these big kitchens, which Disney was nice enough to like provide coffee for us and everything. And so I would hang out in the kitchen a lot because I had more like fruitful conversations doing that and, you know, on my way to the bathroom. And I just made the most of every time I left my office. And I felt like by doing that and being friendly with everybody and talking to everybody that I was able, when I needed something, I was able to accomplish a whole lot more. So, and you never know what anyone else is going through. So like even just a nice kind word every day, you know, you want to be authentic though. I mean, you don't want to just be like, oh, that's really a great outfit, you know, because I mean, hello, they know that you're not complimenting them, but just being genuine, you know, and then because that can just change someone's day. And I just feel like you kind of put out a good vibe that way. So,
Gert, when you said work the office or work the hallways, my first mental image was you walking down like a runway, really working.
Gert,
the
who are you wearing today?
I fully believe she has done that.
I'm sure. Well, because you have such fabulous purses. Anyways, I'm staring at one right now, and she always has the best style.
But I just think, you know, getting out there and having those conversations and that unplanned collaboration is really important, and it helps you in the end.
So. We've all heard you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. Well, you can't pick your coworkers most of the time, but you still have to figure out a way to make those relationships work. It's for your own good if you want to advance in the workplace and be seen as a professional. That people who, you know, I've worked with people in the past who were, they like to push your buttons. And there was one guy at my old radio station, and we all said, after we work with this guy, we're all getting therapy. Because he made a sport out of pushing people's buttons. And we liked him, his personality, but it was just this quirky thing where he had a little bit of power, and he liked to wield it. And we tried to have a sense of humor about it, but we still had to work with this guy. But that was probably one of the most challenging work experiences that I've had. Clearly, I survived that, but it did feel like surviving something because he really liked to stick it to people.
Did you go to therapy?
I have not yet.
This is her therapy.
I'm long overdue for a number of reasons. Yeah, not yet.
I think for me, I found challenges managing up. Not so much the people who I managed, but it was managing up, you know, and managing the expectations, but also because, and I know everyone in this room is like this too, but type A, getting it done. And it doesn't matter what the task is, we're just going to get it done. Well, sometimes that just means we have to manage up and just do it. And that's frustrating at times because you're like, well, you're supposed to be my manager. I mean, I get it. I'm the one below you doing the work. But at the same time, why am I doing all the work?
My experience is quite different just because I've worked in educational settings. I mean, prior to me being a teacher, I did work for a couple corporations. But really, a large part of my experience has been within schools. So very similar, though, in the fact that you always have your boss, i.e., in K through 12, it would be your principal. And now in the college setting that I'm in, I still have to report to my dean, but it's still managing people that you have to manage your relationships and how you show up every single day. I think that putting your best foot forward all the time can be quite exhausting, but it is still necessary in order to move into your career fully.
How do you deal with confrontation?
Avoidance.
I don't love it either. I don't. Not even with my clients now that I have my own business. I mean, I try to be really kind when I send them messages and tell them that it's time to pay me. And, you know, it's been 90 days, so get on it. But I'm very nice about it because I need them to hire me again. But so I'm not terribly confrontational.
Have you noticed, Gert, at all that emails have changed over time where it's not as professional?
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
Definitely. And they can be misinterpreted so easily.
Yes.
You know, so you have to be careful how you word stuff, you know, and you know, what the context is around it. So, yeah. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm not good at confrontation.
No, neither am I. And I just don't want to deal with it in the workplace. I came here to get something done and not to like a lot of friction and get into it with people. So my best work relationships, whether I particularly care for the person or not, what they want to talk about their personal lives, or I don't care about your cat, you know, that kind of thing. But if I respect your work ethic, we're going to be just fine. And even if we get along on a personal level, and I do want to hear about your dog. I'm not a dog or cat person. I like all animals, but I'm just saying.
Note to self, Kurt. Stop talking about the dog.
No. Okay. But if I do want to hear about what you did for the weekend and all of that stuff, but your work ethic isn't there, please don't think that we're getting along well in the workplace. Come to work, show up for work, and work. And so some of the advice that I give to the people who work for me now that I am a manager is have those kinds of conversations with your coworkers. Talk to them about their work. Get to a place where they understand or see that you respect what it is that they're doing or what they can bring, and they have a better understanding of what you can do, and that's your jumping off point for moving ahead. I know that doesn't work for everything, but you're in the workplace and you're a professional and you want to have a big career. What are you doing there? What are you getting done? Show that to the people around you to get their respect, and then maybe they will come at you and talk to you in a different tone and not put you down.
In terms of controversy, I'm coming at it from the educational setting where controversy was embedded not only in my curriculum that I'm teaching, but because I'm with these students for longer amounts of time and face to face, especially within the K-12 setting, controversy is gonna happen, especially since I was teaching high school and hormones are raging. It's just a totally different element where within the classroom setting, I'm the boss and I'm managing my students. But within the setting of my principal and me, I'm underneath her. So with controversy with my students, I would have to manage them. And it's almost like I'm a therapist where I have to kind of de-escalate the situation right away and get them to self-regulate. So not only do I have to self-regulate myself so that I won't end up on the nightly news, but it's more so that they can start calming themselves down as well. And same thing whenever I would have anything controversial come up with the school at large, because there's always some little issue that another teacher might bring into a meeting. Again, it's all about, for me, self-regulation, just making sure that I feel calm and I'm not speaking out and saying something that I don't really mean to say. So case in point, an email, and just thinking before I say something, just managing my emotions so that everybody else can, setting the precedent to have everybody else manage theirs.
So how did you get to that?
Ooh. Well, a lot of that came with time and experience. Early on in my teaching career, I wanted to do my yoga teacher training. And right after my first year of teaching, which is always just hellacious, I went and did a summer intensive where I became a certified yoga instructor, and my mindfulness practice and meditation practice really took off. So I started learning the importance of self-regulation, not only just to benefit my physical body, but also my emotional and mental state. So putting that into practice my second year of teaching really transitioned not only how I was showing up to teach my students, but also my relationship with my peers. But again, the setting that I'm in is quite different, where I don't know about y'all, but how often are you seeing your coworkers every single day?
What Gert was alluding to earlier is having that camaraderie in the office, and that I did love that as well. I'm a big relationship person. But again, as Dana said, you have to show the work ethic. I don't want to be caught up in the drama, in the, you know, hallway talk. But if the work is getting done, I think it's a, you know, a nice release if it's such a stressful situation. But now that I'm on my own, I don't have that camaraderie in the office, and it gets really lonely.
Which is why Amy and I text about 140 times a day.
Yes, I mean, it does. It gets, you know, I, and Gert as well, we're both, you know, creative people. So I miss that brainstorming and just generating ideas and collaborating. Mm-hmm. You don't get that as much anymore. But I don't miss the office politics
drama. No,
because I don't know about you, Gert, but I felt that in the last, I would say, 7-10 years, it's gotten worse. I feel people are so stressed out and having a hard time with their work-life balance that it trickles over into the work life. And going back
that
to managing the emotions, people manage with their emotions, and people are so quick to fly off the handle and not sit to listen. And I mean, I was that way too. A lot of times my emotions got the best of me because I'm passionate. So how do you manage that?
Well, okay, so I have a suggestion for that, because this is something that my team at Disney did a lot of. And even though we delivered with excellence every day, but there's a creativity behavior called playfulness. Mm-hmm. And even if just in the hallway, like we would get in the elevator, right? And like, it all depended on who was in the elevator with you, but you get in the elevator, you're going down like six floors. And let's have a little dance party for the next six floors, okay? And so we'd all like start doing the hustle or whatever, right? And it was just really fun. And then you're smiling by the time you get off the elevator. So just adding that little spark of playfulness, like even just being silly for 2 seconds, you're not taking away from your work, but you're just changing kind of the atmosphere, the environment, you know?
And definitely have to speak into that, because I totally agree. I formed a lot of relationships with my high school teachers who I was working with. And one of my favorites, she actually listened to the podcast last week, Tracy. And she was one of my best friends at the school. And she was the crazy art teacher. And she takes ownership of that very well.
Say, she can appreciate
that. She owns it and works it. So every Wednesday, she would have this thing called Rumor Mill Wednesday. And if any of my old high school students are listening, you know what I'm referring to, where she would just start this really crazy rumor. And then at the very end of the day, like, everyone would know about it. So my first year of teaching, I didn't know about Rumor Mill Wednesday. And by the, I think it was like fourth period, it had spread to me, and they said, Miss Evans, you have a wooden leg. It's like, what? What are you talking about? And they said, Miss Wright said that you have a peg leg, like a pirate. And I said, well, if you want to check out my leg as I raise my pant leg up, they said, oh, wow, that's the most realistic leg I have ever seen.
That 3D technology.
Yeah, it was just super funny. But so then they told me about Rumor Mill Wednesday, and then I would always try to add to it to help it spread, because it just made the kids get to talking, and it wasn't anything ever hurtful. It just was always something that was really funny and entertaining.
It's like that old mailbox game.
Remember? Yeah, like telephone.
Telephone. That's it. One time I was doing some work for Disney, and I was in London at the big sales office that we have there. And while we were there, you know that, what's the thing, the red nose thing? Okay. Yeah. And so that's really huge there. And we were there that week training. And so they're, you know, they're getting money for kids, and Disney was a big sponsor. And like at 10 o'clock in the morning, like in the middle of our training, they'd be like, okay, everybody up. We're doing the hokey pokey. And so everybody got up and did the hokey pokey for like 20 seconds. And then, okay, see ya, back to work. And I was like, what is happening in this office? And they did it every day that week at 10 o'clock and at 3 o'clock. And it just got people up and moving and changed things. But it was all about the red nose promotion. Yeah, it was really neat.
Totally.
That's so funny because working in radio, we don't really have to introduce those things.
No.
It's containing all of that. That's more of an issue rather than introducing it.
Yeah. Not letting it take over the whole afternoon.
Right. Oh,
but getting it started. Nothing done.
But I mean, that's part of the big thing I miss, is because you did have a lot of fun, you know, but as long as you're doing it in a productive way and it doesn't take over your whole afternoon and you are getting work done.
So what's that fine line? Like, where does, how do you establish those boundaries?
Speaking of balance.
We're all looking at you.
We're all looking at Dana.
We all struggle with, I mean, that's a daily struggle is, okay, balance today is not going to look like balance yesterday.
Totally.
Yeah, right.
So
that's right.
What can you do today?
Being aware of people's emotions and how they are that day compared to yesterday, because everything changes drastically from 1 minute to the next.
When I think really taking note and inventory of the way people respond to you in the halls, the way they respond to messages that you send to them. Are you always last on the list to have your message responded to? Do you feel like you're constantly begging for some sort of attention or please, you know, I need an answer to this to move along? Or are people just really happy to see you when you walk into the room? And maybe there's, you know, something that you can own and say, you know, maybe I need to change or work on certain relationships and start to grow from there.
I agree with that. I mean, and I think the way you approach people is very different every time too, right? So like, you know, even at Disney, when our vice presidents would be walking the hallways, I had a competition with one vice president because he was like, I work the hallways better than you. And I go, I beg to differ. So, but it was just really funny. And so, I mean, even like, you know, just knowing what you can get away with and not, right? And that's the whole thing. Yeah. So, you know, really kind of scoping out the situation before you do anything nutty.
Well, and you know, I love my challenges. So my challenge would be, what is one thing you can do this week to change your tone, whether it's email or a response to a voicemail or face-to-face conversation? Can you take one moment to reflect first before responding and see how that changes the outcome?
I don't have time for that.
No,
I'm kidding.
That's totally honestly true.
But Dana's the boss, so you know everybody else is like, all right, now how do we take this information from the podcast and manage up, right?
Here's a question, though, for now the entrepreneurs in the room. How do you find balance on a daily basis now that you don't have that structure?
Sometimes you don't. You know what? I will reach out and call somebody or get in my car and go somewhere just so I'm with other people, or just try to meet up even for, you know, do one of our little infusion teas. But, you know, just even just to have a conversation, you know, with somebody, even just for a couple minutes.
Totally.
Just to kind of change, you know, or say, hey, I want to throw this at you. What do you think? Do you think I'm overreacting? You know, that kind of thing. So.
Yeah. And just to have that support of somebody who's gone through it or is going through it, you know, it's a different perspective than somebody that is in working for somebody. When you're working by yourself, the emotions are, it's a roller coaster. It's peaks and valleys. And when you're in the valley, you're like, somebody please come save me. And you feel like you're not on an island. But being able to pick up the phone or change your scenery, you know, to get a different perspective, because you get so blindsided.
Totally.
And or you put the blinders on and you just put your head down and go.
You know, so this is interesting. I know that there are people in this building. If I get tired of the three of you, I can walk in. No, I'm just kidding. I can walk out of here and I know exactly who to go to if I need a pick me up.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
Behind closed doors, nobody can hear us. I need to vent, or I want to tell you what's going on and just goof off for a little bit. But you don't really have that when you're on your own. So how important is it for you to take time out when you might be beating yourself up a little bit to, I mean, you're it. So you have to be kind to you. You have to be that for yourself. Sometimes there, you know, isn't going to be a place to go.
Totally.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's all a learning process. And I think for me, I'm learning that more, and it's actually very prevalent because I am struggling with that. You know, you think you have so much time, but you really don't. And you have a lot of balls in the air and you're committing to a lot of things because you feel like you have more flexibility and time. And when it all hits together, like, I wasn't planning this.
Where's your inner Serena Williams?
That's right.
It's
but
true.
I have been finding that I do need that downtime, and I need to take care of myself because otherwise I spin out of control.
You know, or else I'll post something silly on social media and just wait for the responses. And then people are like,
so that's a cry for help. I should read it that way.
Yes, exactly. So respond, Dana.
We're constantly reading your social media now.
Just and respond and just say, oh, Gert, you're so funny. And I'll be like, oh, thanks, guys. Okay. They know what I'm up to. But no, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, just reaching out and not sitting there in your little hidey hole, you know. I mean, you have other humans that live with you. I do not. So it's very different for me. I mean, I could sit there in the dark and, you know, watch Netflix and be just fine.
Well, and I would advise people out there who are just starting out too, to actually schedule it in their calendar, because you have to be able to time manage. And if you put it in your calendar as an hour, whether it's go for a walk, go grab a Starbucks, fold laundry, whatever it is that takes you out of that work mentality for just a minute mm-hmm. will help you with your productivity.
We've talked a lot about bringing other people into the conversation. And so, Gert, when you say, you know, I post online and I, you know, I'm waiting for people to respond so you can have some interaction. Really, if you are interested in joining any of our conversations, you can do it. You can do it via social media. We have a page up on mix1051.com. You can reach out via email. We all have our contact up. Mm-hmm. But continue the conversation or help us continue mm-hmm. the conversation. So I hope that more women do join in and can enlighten us to things that have worked for them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. That would be, mm-hmm. I would love to hear from people.
Join the party.
Yeah. Come join.
Thanks for listening to Women Who Mix. Connect with us online at mix1051.com.